friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Friday's show is African Athletics. A Kenyan sprinter earned the title of Africa's fastest man with a blistering performance at the Kipkano Classic meet in Nairobi. And Prince Nesta put on his track spikes and caught up with the 25-year-old athlete.
Ferdinand Omanyala, the African record holder in 100 meters and the eighth fastest man ever in 100 meters.
Wow, that's so huge, and I like the way you say it with confidence.
I earned it.
Oh, man, we are so proud of you, and congratulations, you, such a great feat to achieve. What does it take to be eighth fastest man in 100 meters in the world and Africa's fastest man? Is this naturally born talent, or what does it take?
Yeah, of course, the talent is there, but then There's nothing you can achieve without hard work and without patience and without the discipline that it deserves. I've been in this sport for 5 years and it has just paid this year. I started running in 2016. So it's been building up of a lot of things, sleepless nights, going home late, pain, injuries. But then it was just building me up towards this season. So it's been hard work, discipline, consistency, and a lot of sacrifice in between, plus talent now.
Absolutely. What a terrific combination. Tell me, when you broke the African record and became Africa's fastest man in the 100-meter heats, what was going through your mind at that particular time?
At first, I was shocked but I was expecting it. You know, before I run races, I always run it virtually in my head. I always think about races before I run them. So I had already thought about a 9.7. So when I looked up the screen and I saw the 9.7, at first it hit me, it was the first time. And then I was asking if it's wind aided, because, you know, if you can run a fast time, you can run a fast time and then you're told that it's wind aided. So that's the first question I asked. But then it was a legal win. And then the excitement now started following up, and, you know, it happens. And then the body gets shocked and then it starts embracing it. So it took time, like a week for me to embrace it, but it was excitement and excitement and excitement.
Wow. How did Kenyans react? You know, you are a Kenyan. How did Kenyans react to your performance? How did Africa and even the rest of the world react to, you know, that record breaker?
Yeah, I was looking everywhere. People are talking about me. And it felt so nice because people are proud. Kenyans are proud of what I did. The president was at the field on that day and he was really happy of what I did. And people are still happy. Even when I go to malls, I go to town, I walk around, people still remember that 9.77. And it feels so motivating to see people appreciating what you're doing.
And so has your new name become 9.77? Or what are some of these names that people call
you? Yeah. Right now, everybody's calling me Africa's fastest man. And yeah.
And how do you feel about that?
I feel nice. I feel motivated. I want now to get to the world's fastest man.
Interesting. Tell us a little bit about your background, Ferdinand, where you come from, you know, where you went to school, your family. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born in a place called Vihiga in Western, but I was not raised there because we moved from there to Bungoma County, a place called Tongaren. And now there's where I grew up. I studied around there. A primary school called St. Erastus Preparatory. And then I passed my class 8. I joined high school level in French school Kamusinga. And then I graduated. I passed again the high school and then I came to Nairobi. I'm now a student of, I'm pursuing Bachelor of Science in Chemistry in University of Nairobi, Chiromo campus. So where I'm currently in. So that's basically my education background. Family background, I was born in a family of 7, including parents. 4 siblings, both are all are brothers. We are 5 brothers in our family. And then father and dad. So They are one of the greatest support systems that I have had since I was a young kid, and as far as my career is concerned.
Is there anyone else in your family probably who also runs?
Our last born, who is an Alliance High School, is a rugby player, but he's shown a lot of interest in becoming an athlete. So I want him to clear his high school first before I can now start introducing him slowly to athletics.
Wow. And it's incredible what you're doing. You're pursuing a bachelor's degree. At the same time, you're also, you know, running and breaking all the records, man. How do you do it? Yeah. I mean, you must be so busy or something.
it's not easy because it's a demanding course. But right now, I deferred to, you know, this talent is not for long. We'll not be running here forever. So I decided to choose the professional side of the career. Let me reap all the fruits I can reap, and then I'll go back to class. But during my free times, I'm figuring it out to the university of how we can be doing the course, even if it's during the weekends or during the time that the season is not that busy, so that I can clear my degree.
You know, you talked about rugby. You are a rugby player yourself. In fact, you know, you started off playing rugby. What is the story behind, like, moving from rugby to athletics?
In high school, I played rugby. In the last 2 years of my high school life, I played rugby. And then I joined the University of Nairobi again. I played rugby for like one semester, but then I switched to athletics. I met a friend who told me I should try athletics. And then, I decided to get the calendar of events from the website. And then I started attending the event, and I was performing well in my first event. So it gave me motivation to continue doing this, because I had the passion, and the passion grew to become so big. So I decided to leave training for rugby because it was so demanding the other side. Athletics, sprint training is hard, so you can't double it up with anything else. So I decided to concentrate fully on sprinting, and it's been 5 years.
5 years of nothing but success, man. Talking about athletics, for instance, who are some of these athletes that you personally look up to?
I look up to Johan Blake, the Jamaican.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I met him in the Olympics, and I got a chance to compete against him, and I beat him. so he's one of the athletes. He's the athlete actually I look up to because of how he runs, the challenges he's faced previously, and how he's overcome them, and he's the second fastest man in the world. So I look up to him.
Africa, for instance, hasn't really been so successful when it comes to world events, especially 100 meters. You know, it's always dominated by the Caribbean, Jamaican, so, you know, folks here in the United States of America, you know, the Michael Johnsons and stuff. Where do you see Africa, for instance? And, you know, there's going to be world championships coming up here in Eugene, Oregon, where I'm actually at. Yeah. Are you seeing a future, or foreseeing a future possibly, where Africa is going to dominate these events? And in this particular case, I mean, are you going to dominate these events in the future?
Yeah, of course.
Africa,
the confidence is at 150%, because it's, you know, running fast opens up your mind, and it shows you that there are no limits to possibilities. You know, you can never limit yourself to what you can achieve as a human being. So for me, I'm open to a lot of titles ahead. I'm open to dominating these sprints in some years. And I'm looking forward to breaking records and looking forward to the championships next year, starting off with Africa, the Commonwealth, and the World Championships in Oregon. So that's I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to greatness in those championships.
I like what I'm hearing right now. You know, I would tell you that the current 100 meters world record, for instance, you know, belongs to Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt, who ran the fastest ever 100 meters in 9.58 seconds at the World Championships back in 2009. Can you confidently say or promise here on the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America that you are going for that record, and at some point you will break that record?
Yeah. That's my ultimate goal, to break the world record. And what I can say is that anything is possible, and there are no limits to greatness. You know, you can go as far as fast as you can, you know, and I'm looking forward to breaking that record, and I'm working towards that.
Man, 9.58. I mean,
yeah,
right now you're 9.77.
0.19 short.
What will it take you from 9.77 to 9.57, let's say?
Yeah, so like if you watch my last race, the first 30 actually wasn't the perfect one that someone could expect. Mm-hmm. So if I correct that, and with more and more races, because this year got like 4 races after the Olympic Games, and if at all we could have continued competing, it could have been dropping and dropping and dropping. So for me, next year we're starting off in February. So by the time we get to June, you can see there'll be so many competitions, and every time I'll be purposing to improve. So with me, competition is better. Competition is like training. So looking forward to so many competitions and breaking that record.
That's Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, Africa's fastest man. And he spoke with Prince Nesta from Nairobi, Kenya. And we'll hear more of their conversation next week.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We'll begin the wrap of this weekend African sports action with results of matches played in the 2022 World Cup qualifiers for Qatar 2022. At the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg, South Africa's Teboho Mokoena's 26-minute goal handed South Africa a precious 1-0 victory over Zimbabwe as the Bafana Bafana side inched closer to the playoff round of the qualifiers for the Qatar 2022 FIFA World Cup. Elsewhere, Senegal left it late before scoring an additional time equalizer to play out to a 1-1 draw with Togo and remain unbeaten in the group round. Senegal faced Congo-Brazzaville in the last match on Sunday, while Togo will be away to Namibia. Elsewhere, Mali have progressed to the playoff round of the Qatar 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers after beating 10-man Rwanda in Kigali on Thursday. In Cotonou, Benin's Les Squirrels moved top of the group with a 2-0 victory over Madagascar. The maximum haul sees them scale to 10 points, 2 ahead of DR Congo, who earlier beat Tanzania 3-0 in Dar es Salaam. The two sides will face off in the final match day of the group on Sunday, with Benin just needing a point to progress. In Uganda, Kenya dealt a major blow to Uganda's 2022 World Cup qualification hopes by holding the host 1-1 at the St. Mary's Stadium, Kitende and Tebe, while Ghana's hope of advancing to next year's phase of the 2022 World Cup qualifiers hangs in the balance when they were held 1-1 by host Ethiopia at the Orlando Stadium in Soweto. The result means Bafana Bafana need only avoid defeat away to Ghana on Sunday evening to guarantee top spot in the group and advance into the final phase of qualification. Elsewhere, Namibia and Congo, who were playing for pride in Group H, shared the spoils in a 1-1 draw. Peter Shilule scored the opener for Namibia in the first half before Guy Mbenza drew Congo level in the second half. Staying with football news, the Kenya Soccer Federation was disbanded by the government on Thursday, just hours before the national team was due to play in a World Cup qualifier. The move was announced by Sports Minister Amina Mohamed, who said a preliminary investigation into the Soccer Federation by her department has shown it was unable to properly account for money given to it by the government. Amina Mohamed said police and anti-corruption authorities in Kenya should now carry out further investigations and decide if there should be criminal prosecutions.
Over the past few years, the Football Kenya Federation has faced several governance issues that have been of great concern to the government. First, the Football Federation has failed to account for all the monies allocated to it by government.
I know you guys.
Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwenwa has vowed to oppose the takeover of the federation by a 15-member caretaker committee chaired by retired Justice Aaron Ringera. He also called on all stakeholders, including footballers, referees and coaches, not to take orders from the new committee.
Football will continue all over the country. Everyone will play football as they were playing before. The National Super League will be played this weekend as scheduled. All leagues, county league, everywhere, any referee who was traveling will proceed and do the same. Any official who was organizing any matches will continue to do the same. We shall remain in charge because this is an illegal act. We are in touch with FIFA and we have updated them as required. And in the coming hours, they shall advise on the next move that we shall take.
And now to the inaugural CAF Women's Champions League, where Hasaka's Ladies of Ghana finished top of Group A following a 2-2 stalemate against Wadi Degla on Thursday. The Ghana champions fought back twice to snatch a point and then in the process denied the Egyptian club a place in the semifinals of the CAF Women's Champions League. Hasaka's topped the group with 7 points and qualified for the knockout stage alongside Equatorial Guinea's Malabo Kings, who drew 1-1 with AS Monday on the same day. And now to some cricket news. Peter Marlon will lead the 14-member South Africa A 4-day squad that will take on India A in a 3-match series from the 23rd of November to the 9th of December in Bloemfontein. Cricket South Africa convener of selectors Victor Misiang said Test cricket remains one of the CSA's key focus areas, along with ensuring that the format continues to thrive and hold relevance in South Africa. Away from cricket now to boxing, where Nigeria British heavyweight boxer Anthony Joshua will initiate plans for a rematch against Alexander Usyk by discussing the probable venue for the fight. AJ, as Anthony Joshua is popularly called, lost his WBA, WBO, IBF and IBO belts to Ukraine's Usyk on a unanimous points decision in front of a sellout crowd at London's Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in September. In judo news, the 42nd edition of the African Judo Championship will begin on Wednesday, the 17th of November 2021 in Diané Miadio at the Dakar Arena, Senegal. The African show in Senegal is also an opportunity for judokas to earn points towards the qualification for the 2024 Paris Olympics. In golf news, no fewer than 160 golfers in different categories are to participate in the 14th edition of the Central Bank of Nigeria-sponsored Governor's Golf Tournament, scheduled to tee off on Saturday in Abuja. According to a statement issued by the CBN Director of Corporate Communications, Mr. Osita Nwanisobi, the one-day event will feature golfers in men's and ladies' categories. The event will take place at the IBB Golf and Country Club, Abuja. In basketball news, Zimbabwe reigning women basketball champions Hornet will represent Zimbabwe at next week's International Basketball Federation Women's Club Championship qualifiers in South Africa. This follows an invitation from FIBA through the Basketball Union of Zimbabwe to represent the country at the tournament slated for November 15th to the 22nd in Johannesburg. Harare City Hornets are the current Harare Basketball Association champions, having won the title before the COVID-19 pandemic hit and looked on course to defend it when the 2019-2020 season was cut short. In table tennis, the annual Zimbabwe Open Table Tennis Tournament to be held in Divari's Mahakari's group of schools will begin tomorrow. The tournament is open to all players and will have several categories, which include under 10, under 12, under 19, and the open for both men and women. The Zimbabwe Table Tennis Federation said they were excited to be hosting such a national event after a 2-year break. And finally, in netball news, South African national netball team, the Proteas, continue their winning ways at the African Netball Cup in Namibia following Thursday's 79-22 win against Tanzania in their third match of the tournament. South Africa's title defense has gotten off to a stunning start as it beat Zimbabwe 78-27 in their opener and then defeated Kenya 67-26.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. Samson mentioned how Kenya's men's football team dealt a major blow to host Uganda Thursday with a 1-1 draw. In fact, the draw eliminates Uganda from the 2022 World Cup qualifying competition, with Mali advancing from Group E. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Nairobi, where he reached an online editor for the Nation Media Group, David Kwalimwa.
It was a dead rubber game for Kenya against Uganda, ending 1-1 in Kampala. But the interesting thing that stood out is how the Kenyan players really expressed themselves very well. Out of the 5 games Kenya has played in the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers, I don't think there's a game the Kenyans have played so well, especially considering there was nothing at stake. Remember, Kenya already out of the running to qualify for the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Kenya scoring first via Michael Olunga before Uganda came in late on to get an equalizer through Fahad Bayo. This is Coach Injen Ferrat's third match in charge of Kenya, and slowly by slowly he's starting to get a grip of the Kenyan game and implement his ideas on the players. It was a very positive start for Ferrat, the first draw and two defeats in his first three games in charge. But again, the performances and result in this match, a 1-1 draw away to Uganda, very seasoned and solid team in East Africa, should give Kenyans hope that possibly Ferrat and Harambee Stars could build on this ahead of the other upcoming competitions to possibly stake a claim and cover back ground to bring back some positive performances that were last witnessed in 2019 when Kenya beat Ghana and Ethiopia at home to qualify for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations in Egypt.
The Kenyan government says it has dissolved Football Kenya Federation and set up a caretaker committee for 6 months. What are the reasons given for this action?
The decision by the Kenya government to disband Football Kenya Federation and appoint a caretaker committee was not quite surprising. Remember, in the last 1 month, as we had discussed on this program.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
There had been an inspection team assigned to take account of the Federation's books and record after several reports of misappropriation of funds were leveled against the current Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwendwa. The government investigating or sifting through the Federation's records for the last 3 weeks up until a few days ago when a report was handed over to the Sports Cabinet Secretary Amina Mohammed. The report detailing a lot of inaccuracies in the Federation's account and misappropriation of funds. Leaving and also recommending the disbandment of Football Kenya Federation, thus leaving the sports ministry in Kenya with little choice other than to disband the federation and put up a caretaker committee. And it will be very interesting to see how the few days come ahead with the national team also having a match against Rwanda in Nairobi on Monday. So as it is right now, Nick Mwendwa, the Football Kenya Federation president, elected overwhelmingly into office just last year, barely 12 months ago, is already out of office as per the government orders because he reportedly misappropriated funds. And the report also suggests that the disbandment of FKF might just not be everything, with reported criminal action just around the corner for top Football Kenya Federation officials. So interesting days for Kenyan football and stakeholders, including referees, players, coaches, just watching by to find out what might just happen next.
Football Kenya Federation says it rejects the caretaker committee and will carry on with its operations. What's your take on this?
Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwendwa, as expected, has rejected the move by Amina Mohammed to disband the football body and set up a caretaker committee. And that, as I said earlier, was expected from Mwendwa because he's always been vocal against the government. He's always been seen just thumping and pleading his innocence to everybody who will care to listen to him. So this sets up a very, very interesting battle royale between the government and Football Kenya Federation, with Mwendwa insisting he's still in charge of the federation and is still going to oversee football activities, including the national football team. But interestingly, just on the night the government announced the decision to disband the federation, the Kenya police have taken over and cordoned off the Football Kenya Federation offices based in Kasarani in Nairobi. So even if Mwendwa is going to run football, he's going to have to run it from somewhere else, not the official football secretariat in Nairobi. And it also means that the next few days are going to be very interesting because it remains to be seen who between Mwendwa and the government will be able to take over the running of football in the country. Remember, as I told you, there's already a caretaker committee which takes office on Friday morning to start officially the process of running football in the interim for 6 months. The committee, led by a retired judge, Aaron Ringera, with a couple of stakeholders, including sports officials and journalists. So we wait to see how the drama will unfold.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor at Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi.
The World Health Organization calls diabetes a major cause of blindness, kidney failure, heart attacks, stroke, and lower limb amputation. This is Rick Pantaleo. Please join Dr. William Cefalu, MD, from the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases, and me when we talk about diabetes on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. Be sure to listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
South African double amputee sprinter Oscar Pistorius, who was convicted of murder in 2015, could be eligible for parole. but he must first meet with the family of the victim. VOA's Gwen Uden has details. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. South African Paralympic runner Oscar Pistorius is currently serving a 13-year sentence for the murder of his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. Pistorius may soon be up for parole for having served half his sentence, but earlier this week, corrections officers in South Africa said he must first take part in what is called restorative justice before early release will be considered. Tanya Cohen is the lawyer for Barry and June Steenkamp, Reva's parents. Cohen tells Reuters News the restorative justice process requires the offender to come face to face with the victim's family with the hope of reconciliation.
If the offender and the victim's family going to face each other face to face, and then now the offender will forward whether he's sorry or not, or has regret or not. I cannot speak for them. I don't know what's going to happen in that meeting. But the whole idea behind victim offender dialogue is restorative justice. And one can only hope. We all know, Barry has said many times that he has questions for Oscar.
Pistorius was convicted for shooting Reva Steenkamp four times through his bathroom door in 2013. Pistorius said he mistook her for a burglar in his home, but he was found guilty and initially sentenced to 6 years in prison in 2016. That sentence was more than doubled the following year. Julian Knight is the lawyer for Oscar Pistorius, and he tells Reuters if his client is released, there's no chance he will recommit a crime.
If you look at a person like Oscar Pistorius, he has been a model prisoner. So he doesn't have any negative ticks against his name. I think his chances of reoffending are remote because it's not the type of thing that would happen again. And yes, so I think when you evaluate the offender, as regard to all of the factors to be taken into account, all things indicate that he ought to be released on parole.
As an athlete, Pistorius competed on prosthetic blades that earned him the nickname Blade Runner. From 2004 through 2012, Pistorius clinched 6 Paralympic gold medals and made history as the first amputee sprinter to compete at the Olympic Games. Now, Julian Knight says, the 34-year-old athlete is a shadow of his former self.
He will never be the person he was prior to the incidents that led him into prison. He will never have the life that he had, and he will be eternally haunted by the circumstances that led to his imprisonment. So from that point of view, whilst he might be in good health as a person who's young and fit and in, you know, has all his faculties, he will always have this over his head.
And Steenkamp lawyer Tanya Cohen says that while the victim's parents want to participate in the required victim-offender dialogue, they are traumatized at the prospect of meeting Pistorius face-to-face.
They're dealing with a lot of emotions. One can understand objectively. This is going to be a face-to-face meeting. So, yes, it's going to be traumatic for them. It's going to be dramatic. And they are dealing with quite a lot of emotion.
South Africa's Department of Correctional Services states that Pistorius must acknowledge and take responsibility for his actions before parole is considered. And there must be an opportunity for parties to reconcile or offer an apology as part of the restorative justice process. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the November 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.